special welcome to the students that are present today. And I want you to know that the things that I'm going to say today are probably more directed to the students than it are to the rest of you. So you're going to listen in as we have a chat. Now, I'm not the regular preacher here. Don Smith is away. He had to attend two weddings this weekend, and so I'm pinch-hitting for him. My name is Ed Whittington. Students know me as Mr. Ed, and maybe in their private conversations as other things. I have an opportunity to speak and take Don's place today. Well, today is a special day. We're welcoming students back to this church for the 67th time. 67 years that the school's been operating, and every year students from the school come to this church, maybe not to this building, but we used to have a building, another building in town, but you've gathered with the Christians with the Beamsville Church. So my part in this is that I was a teacher, some of you know this, but I was a teacher at Great Lakes starting in the fall of 1976, and I retired in 2017. But I didn't really retire. If you don't believe me, ask Lynn McKenzie. She doesn't think I really retired. I'm around there too much. I still go back and supply teacher, and this year I've been asked to teach one section of science that they couldn't find somebody to do. So my time at Great Lakes, I probably taught a couple of thousand students. And following graduation over the years, the students scatter. And in the early years, there was no social media, so they would scatter. If they wanted to keep in contact with each other, they would have to write letters. And you have to wait for 10 days or 2 weeks to get a response to the letter. So students would be one address change away from not being able to contact them or not know where they are or what they're doing. And so there will always be some people that you wonder about. What happened to them? And my first year at Great Lakes, one student that came to school, and I'd like to see his picture up, please. This handsome fellow showed up at school. And we called him Jojo. He came from Indonesia. He came from a Muslim country, and he came to our school. We didn't really know anything about him before he arrived, but we soon found out some things about him that were pretty interesting. First contact that I had with him, I understood that he had some English issues. I was standing at the side of the soccer field the first week of school, and my team had started to gather and practice, and we were having tryouts and whatnot. And he showed up on the sideline, Choijo Kuiha, he's about this big. And he said to me, "I play soccer." I said, "You play soccer, do you?" "Yeah." I said, "Do you have any soccer shoes?" "Yeah, Dom." I said, "Well, you go get your shoes on and come back." So he went off and got his shoes and came back. And I said, "What position do you play?" "Wing." "Which side of the field?" "Right wing." Okay. You didn't have a lot of, there wasn't a lot of verbiage there. It was just some blunt answers. So we were scrimmaging, and I called a person off that was playing on the right wing. And I said, "All right, you go out there and play." So he ran out on the field. When he touched the ball the first time, within 5 seconds, I said, "He's going to be my starting right winger." This kid had unbelievable speed, ball control, smart player. I mean, immediately you knew he was from some other planet when it came to soccer skills. Okay, he could do it all, run, control the ball. He would even taunt the opposition. He was playing somebody, look at them and smile and say, "Come and get me," And then they would run, and he would disappear. Where'd he go? And he was by him. I came to find out, that he had held an Indonesian triple jump record for midget students. So these students are 14 years old. He held a national record for triple jump in a country of 140 million people. And if you look at school on the display case, you'll find that he still holds a long jump record for senior, 42 years since he was a student. 6 meters, 6.24 meters. And for somebody this tall, this is an incredible accomplishment. He actually jumped out of the pit. He hit the board and landed outside of our pit. We had to increase the length of the pit to catch him. And he holds the Great Lakes triple jump record as well. So maybe in some ways, well, there's, and he played soccer, and show the soccer picture, please. Here he is holding up the trophy, Roger Whitfield at the right side, and a few other people, Andy Fleming standing behind there, Don Massinger, and that, see those glasses over there on the left-hand side? Not the dark ones, but that's me when I had hair. So almost not the same person. But anyhow, there's some other interesting character. John Kirkland, who had a business that sold flooring, and Roger Whitfield's a local guy, he's involved in investments. A lot of really interesting people on this team. But the reason he's holding the trophy is that in the final game, he scored the only goal on a corner kick that he hit up into the wind with a side spin on it, and it drifted, and right into the top corner of the net. Nobody touched it. That was the goal that won the championship. He was a very skilled badminton player. He would routinely take on the best senior doubles team by himself and beat them, and they would be lucky to get 3 points on him. When he went to SAFSA, he played the fourth-ranked junior player in Canada and lost 15-8, 15-9. He actually pushed the guy at the end of the game, thanked him for a game, because normally he'd just wipe people out. Nobody get a point against him. Well, after 2 years at Great Lakes, he graduated and disappeared. And I always wondered what happened to JoJo. Well, it begs the question, what kind of a world do we want to live in anyways? A place of love versus a place of hate? A place full of joy versus a place of bitterness? A place of peace versus a place of fighting? A place of patience versus a place of anger? A place of kindness and goodness versus a place of bullying and abuse and blaming? A place of faithfulness versus a place of cheating? A place of gentleness versus a place of rage? A place of self-control versus a place of addictions? Oh, what kind of a life do you want? What kind of a life? You're teenagers, you're looking towards your life. What kind of a life do you want? Well, you know the answer. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For many years, I taught a course at school, Sermon on the Mount, and I come to this verse, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And how I taught it was I asked the students to imagine the characteristics of a person that they might marry someday. Now, for grade 10 students, this might be a bit of a stretch, because some of them may have not thought about that before, but I had them sort of imagine, well, what would that be person, what would you like that person to be like? Well, some of the boys in the class maybe had a little more trouble. Girls had it more thought out. So they would write out these characteristics, the characteristics they thought were important. So I would collect these unsigned but gender-specific characteristics, and I would do a tally on the board. So every time a term came up, I'd write it down, and if it came up more and more, I'd check side beside it. And in 35 years, I always got, didn't matter who was in the class, I always got the same results. I should have kept the data over the years. I could have published an article about it. Always got the same results. The top 10 list, I'd like to be married to someone who is faithful, somebody I could trust, somebody who loved me, somebody who was humorous or, would bring joy into my life. Always the same results. And it was interesting to me, no matter who the person was and where they were from or what stage in life they were, you know, didn't matter. There was always about the same. Now, some people, you know, they would throw in things about physical attractiveness, and it usually was on the list somewhere. Some people trying to make jokes, you know, I don't want somebody ugly like my mother, you know, stuff like that. You just, you know, it's data that's sort of on the fringes. So, you know, you can just sort of cut that stuff off. The meat of it was what we're talking about. Somebody that's going to love me, we can get along as we're peaceful, patient, kind. So we can know the right answers, but sometimes we don't live those right answers. But it was interesting to me the things that were on the list and the things that weren't not on the list. I've never had anybody write, you know, I'd like to be married to somebody who's really angry and violent. That'd be really interesting. Never know when you might get smacked in the head. Live with that tension, that would be cool. Nobody ever wrote that down. Nobody ever said, you know, it'd be really cool to be married to a compulsive liar. Just imagine trying to figure out what's right, what's correct, what isn't correct, you know? Let's try to figure that out. Some of you may have that problem. I don't know. Oh, I think it would be really interesting to be married to a serial fornicator. Never showed up. So to me, it's interesting the things that were on their lists and the things that were not on their lists. Which brings us to this passage of Scripture that we looked at this morning that was read. It says in verse 12, it says, clothe yourself with what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then it says in verse 13, bear with one another. That's just, you're going to make it your goal to get along with people. In this, it says, clothe yourself with love, verse 14, that holds everything together. So I have to think about one thing, think about love, because what that does, all this other stuff radiates from the concept of love. And patient, you're patient because you love the other person and you're concerned about how they feel. So you're going to be patient with them when they're having difficulty. Even if they're making difficulty for you, you're going to try to be patient and push through that. And then in verse 15, it says, let peace rule. So let peace be in charge of your heart. In verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Be thankful. Be grateful. But then it says in verse 5, before that, it says, put to death. Put to death. What? Sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed. Get rid of anger, wrath. In verse 8, anger, wrath, malice. Malice, that's like you feel like just absolutely smearing somebody. Just want to just erupt and just wipe them out. Get rid of that. Slander, that's talking about people behind their back, telling lies about them to others. Abusive language, we know that one, filthy language. And I remember as a teenager having kind of a filthy language persona. I can remember on a bus ride one time, I was telling a story and it had some profanity in it. And I get to the end. No, I was telling stories even in high school. And I get to the end of the story and the punchline, I give the deliver the punchline and everybody erupts in laughter. And then I look up and I see my brother looking at me with these beady blue eyes like, I cannot believe you're my brother and you talk like that. It says get rid of it. So when I discovered the verse that says, out of your mouth comes both blessing and cursing, this should not be, I thought, oh, that's why my brother was looking at me with those beady eyes. Maybe he discovered that verse before me. So that was really informative. It helped me to change that part of me. In verse 7, it says something about when you were living that life. So when you were living like all of these things, that life, and you know what? Even as Christians, sometimes we have remnants of that life. We haven't got over some of those things. Well, the scriptures are saying, clothe yourself. It's really kind of clothe yourself. Put it on. Wear it. What? Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And all of these things start with the way we think. In verse 2, Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your minds on things above. So it's important for all of you to think about what you think about. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, he's summing up this letter to the Philippians. So he says, finally, so it's sort of in the conclusion of the book. He says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, pleasing, and commendable, think. Think about these things. So think about what you think about. I don't know what you think about. I don't know anything about what you think about. The only person I can know about what they think is me. So how do I think? What do I think about? I've often heard the expression when I was younger, you are what you eat. So if you binge out on potato chips, I suppose you turn into a potato chip, according to that. But I would say more importantly, you are what you think. What you think about defines really what you're about. So in this, it's saying whatever's good and pleasing and pure, think about these things. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, have the idea of being transformed by renewing our minds. So it's possible that where we are right now and how we think and how we view the world and what we think is important, it's possible to change our mind, to be a different person. It's possible, transformed by the renewal of our mind. This is not an event that takes place instantaneously. We flip a switch and we're someone different. It's a process that we go through because we want to think and we want to be like Jesus. So we try prayerfully to attend to the things that Jesus attends to. And what does Jesus attend to? In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. So what does Jesus think about? What's he all about? He's about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's about those things. So thinking is an important step in becoming these traits. So Christians strive for these things, but we're broken, and we have remnants of that life. But I believe that over time, prayerfully attending to Jesus and the things that Jesus stood for and the things that Jesus demonstrated in his life, that over time, we can change the way we think, we can become more like Jesus, we can become more loving and more kind and more patient. But not just in our mind, but also in the way that we behave. It's one thing to think about being kind, it's a different thing to actually taking the idea of kindness and applying it in real life situations. All you students that last year at the grad chapel at the end of the year, some of you weren't here at that time, but at the end of the year, the graduating class gets up and they tell you about their experiences at Great Lakes. And some of them speak through tears. Some of them have been there 4 years, some 1 year, and some of them cry their way through. And last year, one student who had been there at Great Lakes only 1 year, he says, only 1 year, an incredible time. There are so many nice people here. That's a good thing. You students are going to meet a lot of nice people. Teachers and staff at school, a lot of really nice people there. There are really, really a lot of nice people here in this church. So take this year and take the experiences of this year and with your friends and at church and try to explore and learn to love and follow Jesus. So when I told a former student that was in school with JoJo, when I told her about this talk today, she said, oh, what I remember about him, he was sort of like street gang material. So, what happened to JoJo? If I can have that next picture. March 22nd, 2017, I'm in the cafeteria at school, and he walks in. 39 years after I saw him. And you know what? He's got a little less hair, but he's about the same height. I'm about the same height. No, maybe I'm shrinking. But anyhow, just in height. I'm, you know, it's going sideways. Anyhow, I immediately recognize him. He came into the cafeteria with his wife and one of his children, who was an adult, in his 30s, and another son who was getting married to a Canadian, and they were in Toronto for the wedding, and they came over to school. When I see people in this situation, one of the things I always ask them, what happened? What happened in your life? And he said, well, when I left school and got my education here, I went back to Indonesia, and I worked for my father-in-law in his business. And then I started my own business. I said, so what's your business? I publish and distribute Christian literature in Indonesia. Now, you got to know, it's a Muslim country. This is not the most popular thing to do. I said, do you do anything else? He says, yes, I preach for a Christian church. My question to him was your school experience at Great Lakes and your experience at the Beamsville Church, did it have anything to do with your life direction? And he said, this is where I learned about Jesus. So as students, you have this opportunity to learn about Jesus, and as a church, we have an opportunity to help these people learn about Jesus. He changed his mind. We had no idea he changed his mind, but we praise God that his experiences here at school and in the church here made a dramatic difference in his life direction. And who knows, the life direction of all of the people that JoJo interacted with. So what happened to JoJo? He changed his mind.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.